Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, students. Welcome to our lesson summary review for today. We're starting a new course entitled The Christian Church and Ministry. This is one of our bachelor's in practical ministry programs. And we're going to be starting with session one today, which is entitled A Universal Problem. Now, this session will help you to further understand God's plan of redemption for the world. And this plan includes the work of understanding the universal problem of the church. So as we study through this week's lesson, we're going to emphasize God's solution to the problem and his inclusion of us in his great plan. And as we always do, students, we want you to prepare yourselves for studies with us. And we also want to ask our instructors to prepare themselves to teach these lessons, that each of us will earnestly commit our efforts to the Lord in prayer. And we realize that it is quite possible that some of you listening today may have sin problems. And we want to be able to pray with you that your relationship with God will continue to remain strong and that your relationship will grow with him. So if you have any issues that you would like for us to pray with you about, feel free to contact us here at the school email address, and we will be more than happy to communicate with you and pray with you because you are a part of the GBCS family. Now, there are at least three major headings that we're going to go over as we review this lesson this week. If you're taking notes, we're going to be looking at discovering the problem. Second, we're going to be looking at understanding the problem. And third, solving the problem. And the problem being the universal problem that all of us have, which is sin. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. So hopefully you have your study guide, your note-taking materials that you can take notes as I go over some of the major highlights of this lesson. And as we begin, as an introduction, I want you to get a blank sheet of paper, and I want you to write down the answer to three questions that I'm going to give you. The first question is, what can I do this week that would be, one, ministry to God, secondly, ministry to my church, and third, ministry to the people in the world that I'm. I want each and every one of you to go ahead and write down some of your responses to those three questions so that you can be able to see where you are in your growth with Christ as well. And I want you to be prepared to share with us some of the things that you discover in the coming weeks as we go through this course. And we're going to be praying that God will provide each of you opportunities to minister and that you will have the zeal to obey God's voice. And one of the lessons that we will study as we go through this course in session number four will help us to review the goals that we set in this lesson and perhaps even set new goals as we accomplish the ones that we've set previously. Now, here are two scripture references I want to give you. Make note of Romans chapter 1, verse 18, and also John chapter 10, verse 9. And as you look at that portion of scripture, I'd like to comment that in our sinful state, we have no communion or fellowship with God. But because of God's love to us, we're going to discover in this lesson that he has provided another way or another door through Jesus Christ. And this is the doorway that opens up fellowship for us with God because of the separation that sin has created. So that leads right into our first major heading, discovering the problem. What separates us from God? Our first objective asks us to describe the origin, nature, and extent of sin in the world. And so let's take a look at the sin problem. This is what's identified as the universal problems. If you were to look at Genesis chapter 3, verses 21 to 24, Romans chapter 3, verse 23, as well as Romans chapter 5, verse 12, these portions of scripture describe the origin, nature, and extent of sin. And you will note that the angel in Genesis that God placed to the east of the Garden of Eden kept Adam and Eve from returning to the place where they had total communion of fellowship with God. And this is a picture of mankind who has been separated from having fellowship and communion with God as a result of sin in our lives. So I want you to think about a definition for sin. Write down what you think sin means. And as we refer to the three descriptions that are mentioned on page 17 of your study guide, you can note these three ways in which our lesson describes sin. The first way in which our lesson describes sin is as an act of rebellion. The second way it describes sin is an act of disobedience. And third, it describes sin as a condition of bondage. Now, at this point, we have an exercise sheet that we'd like to share with you. If you're studying in the classroom, your Network Training Center director will provide you with a copy of the exercise sheet. If you're studying by distance education online or by mail, you can contact us to request a copy of the exercise sheet that will help you to define some of the ways in which you have grown in your relationship with Christ. So we're looking at the first major heading, which is describing the problem of sin. And the first thing that our lesson wanted us to understand as we discover the problem is to understand the scope of the problem. So here's a question I like to ask you, students. Is everyone affected by Adam's choice to sin? Well, some of the answers for that question can be found in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, as well as Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Now, let me give you an illustration for you to think about. Let's think about the behavior of a 2 or 3 year old strong-willed child. We can see that it shows how contrary the child's will is to that of its parents or the immediate authority figure in their life. Now, this is not learned behavior. It is what's called innate, something that's in us or something that we're born with. Now, with that in mind, if a child has these qualities before he or she can determine what is wrong and right, it is evident that we certainly have sinful natures as well. So it helps us, as we discover the problem of sin, to understand the scope of the problem, that it is universal, that is a problem that all people have. In addition to discovering the problem, we also want to discover the problem solver. Our second objective asks us to explain the three aspects of the fatherhood of God. And for this, I'd like to refer you to the chart on page 21 of your study guide, which depicts God as the father of the world simply because he created it physically and morally. And you see the moral order of things that God has established in your study guide on page 20. Now, I want to ask you a question in this regards to identifying the problem solver. Why could Jesus refer to God as my Father? Well, the answer is that Jesus was and is God's only begotten Son. That is, he originated from the Father. He came from the Father. This is each of us who are listening today came from or out of our Father, a biological sense. So did Jesus from his Father. I also like to ask you, why do believers refer to God as our Father? Well, the answer is that God has rescued us from destruction. God has given us fundamentals and principles to live by, and God has adopted us into his family. As Paul says to the church in Rome, that is why we cry, Abba, Father. So we have also accepted Jesus as God's son, which puts us into right position to be God's child. For we are children of God as well, as Paul says in Romans 1 and 12. So the first part of our lesson talked about discovering the problem, that is, discovering the universal problem of sin, understanding the scope of the problem, as well as identifying the problem solver. Now, our second major heading of this lesson review talks about understanding the problem. Objective 3 says, identify aspects of change in modern society which present opportunities for ministry. Now, again, I refer you back to the exercise sheet that I mentioned to you earlier, where it asks you to fill in some of the blanks about some of the problems in society that present opportunities for us to minister. But let me briefly talk about two of those issues in order to understand the problem of sin. The first issue in understanding the problem that sin presents is the climate of the city. Now, we can observe that each year, the population of the world's major cities multiplies. And in fact, even now, more than 50% of the world's population live in cities of 1 million people or more. Now, that leads me to this question. How does the increase of this population affect human beings? Well, if we look at the answer that our study guide alluded to, and we can look at society just by observing the condition of our world, scientific experiments show it causes people to become more intense in their actions and emotional responses, such as protective of property. And then we also see that common problems become more intense, such as poverty, destruction to nature, crime, famine, homelessness. So in short, students, as we understand the problem of sin, we can see in the climate of the city that sin is intensified as people concentrate in masses in dense population areas. The second thing we need to understand about understanding the problem that sin presents is the spirit of the age. Now, I'd like to comment that everyone searches for a better life. So I want you, students, to identify three ways that people try to better their own lives. Some of you may mention healthy eating, such as eating organic or health food. Some of you may mention acquiring material wealth or receiving more education. But I want to refer you to the paragraph in your study guide on page 25 that talks about the Tower of Babel movement. It describes what we now call the New Age movement. It reflects the attitude that Lucifer had, which caused him to be cast from heaven. It is apparent in what he told Eve in Genesis chapter 3. It is the philosophy of the society that tried to build the Tower of Babel that we read about in the Bible. And that philosophy evolved from I am as good as or better than God to I am God. This is the spirit of this age. And it helps us to understand the problem of sin, which is a universal problem. So we're studying, of course, the Christian church and ministry. And the first lesson is dealing with a universal problem, and we discovered that the problem is sin. And so sin is described in our lesson as one, acts of rebellion, acts of disobedience, and a condition of bondage. And so that is a result of sin in the lives of God's people. When we rebel against God and when we disobey his commands, laws, and commandments, the end result is bondage. And this is why we can see some of the problems in our society today. But we get hope in knowing that we have a problem solver in Jesus Christ. And so as we go through the rest of this lesson review, now that we've discovered the problem and understand a little bit about the problem, let's talk about how God solved the problem, solving the problem. Our fourth objective asks us to explain how God made it possible for man's fellowship with him to be restored. So let me begin by asking you this question. What is God's solution to the state of the world and mankind's separation from him because of sin? Well, I want you to make note of two scriptures. The first one is John chapter 3, verses 16 through 17, which basically says that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but that they might have everlasting or eternal life. It goes on to say in verse 17 that God did not send his Son, Jesus, into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So as we look at that portion of Scripture, we understand that God did not leave us in a world that would destroy us without providing a way of escape. And through Jesus Christ, we have the way, the truth, and the life. As Jesus says, that no man goes into the Father except through him. So through Jesus, we have all that we need to live in a sinful world. You can make note of John chapter 14, verse 6 as well, which speaks to this issue. Now, at this point, I want to refer you to the chart on page 28 of your study guide, where you see three stages of the sin problem and the steps that God has taken in order to solve this problem. The first thing you would note in this chart, and you can write these things down on a blank sheet of paper if you would like. The first thing we see is, number one, we see man rebelled against God and that Jesus Christ provides a way back to God. This is called reconciliation. Second thing we see is that man is guilty of doing wrong, but Jesus takes the blame for our wrongs. This is called sacrifice. And the third step that we see is that man cannot stop the cycle of sin, which is called bondage. And then we see that Jesus Christ frees us from Satan's claim on our lives. And this is called redemption. So we see three steps to solving the problem that God has initiated on our behalf. One, he has brought about reconciliation by Jesus. He's also given a sacrifice to take the blame for our wrongs or to take our sins upon himself. Jesus is known as the perfect Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And in the efforts that we talked about the fact that we cannot stop the cycle of sin, which is bondage, we see the good news of the gospel that Jesus Christ frees us from Satan's grip and the power of sin, and this is called redemption. So we thank God for reconciliation, we thank God for Jesus' sacrifice, and we thank God for the redemption that we have through the sacrifice of Jesus. So again, as you refer to the exercise sheet that I mentioned to you earlier, you can write down some of the steps and stages in your own life of reconciliation, of accepting the sacrifice and appropriating the redemption that Jesus Christ brings into the world. This is very important for us personally, as well as it is for those that we hope to see freed from bondage in this world. So we're studying the first lesson of our course, The Christian Church in Ministry. That is, we all, as a part of the church or a part of Christ's body, we have an obligation and a responsibility to help to see others saved as well. So far in this lesson of a universal problem, which was identified as sin, we have discovered the problem, we've seen some of the scope of the problem, we've identified the problem solver. In our second heading, we talked about understanding the problem by talking about the climate of the city and the effect of dense population centers. We also talked about the spirit of this age. And in our final session, we talked about solving the problem, how God has made it possible for man's fellowship with him to be restored. So in conclusion, students, I want to give you a few minutes to recall examples from your own lives. Perhaps you were in rebellion. Describe what that was like. Perhaps disobedience and bondage. Recall some of the things that Jesus Christ has redeemed you from, or that you pray he would redeem you from. For if our lives are not impacted by the good news of the gospel, then it is really not something that we can readily share with others. But if we have been redeemed and we understand the process of which it took for us through Jesus' shedding of his blood and the sacrifice on the cross in order for us to be free from our rebellion and disobedience, then that is good news for others who are in bondage as well. I want to ask you this question. How has Jesus solved the problems in your life? The problem of rebellion, the problem of disobedience, the problem of bondage. I want you to write these answers down and think about these as part of your own testimony. And in final, I want to make a comment that all of us face problems. Sin may be a problem in some of our lives, the salvation of family members, personal ministry within the community. Whatever the problem is, God has already made a solution for it. And so God's solution is a very personal matter, because every person's problem may be somewhat different, but the solution is the same. We have been redeemed through the blood of Jesus Christ. We've been reconciled back to God because of his sacrifice and the shedding of his blood and his resurrection. And we have good news to share with others. So I want to pray with each and every one of you who are listening to this broadcast today. We want to pray for the problems that you may be facing. And prayerfully point you to the fact that Jesus Christ is your problem solver, that he has overcome the world. For Jesus mentioned in his teachings in Scripture that in this life we shall have trials and tribulations. Why is that? Some as a result of our personal sin, some as a result of sin of others, some just by circumstances out of our control, but whatever the source of the problem, we want to know the source of the problem solver, and that is found in Jesus Christ, our Lord. So we've been studying our first lesson of the course, The Christian Church and Ministry. We've been talking about Session 1, A Universal Problem. And so this session, again, was designed to help us to understand how sin came into the world, how it affects our world today, and emphasize God's solution to the problem and his inclusion of us in his great plan. So as we prepare to close out for this week's lesson review, let's pray for those who may be affected by sin and perhaps still trying to overcome rebellion, disobedience, or bondage in some area of your life. Let's pray for one another even now. Lord, we thank you. We praise you for the redemptive power of Christ. We thank you for the redemption that came through his sacrifice, and we thank you for the reconciliation that is now ours and made available to us through his obedience. Today, Father, I pray that any problem that's caused in the lives of these people who are listening today, as a result of sin, that it will be broken by the power of Jesus Christ, that each of us will surrender ourselves to God's will, that we will place our sins, place our problems, place our wrongs before your throne. Ask that you will redeem us, that you will free us, and that you will give us strength and overcoming power for a life of victory and success. So, Father, we thank you and praise you today for allowing us this opportunity to study your word. May your word come alive in us. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, hallelujah and amen. Praise the Lord. Again, students, I'm so blessed and thankful to have had this opportunity to start this first lesson with you. I look forward to continuing this course with you as well as future courses. In the meantime, I pray that God will continue to bless and strengthen you, and good day.